The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Good Tuesday morning. I had to look at my watch to make sure that it was Tuesday.
That kind of freaked me out a little bit, Doug Grace, I'm not going to lie.
I couldn't remember for sure what day it is, and I should have just looked at your outfit to know what day it is. That helps.
Yeah, Steve Wolf's day. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. Broadcasting on a weekday basis, 6 to 10, of course, on Arizona Sports Station, 98.7 FM, live from the Auction Community Studios.
How is that show with Steve Wilkes going so far after two weeks and 0-2 and
great.
Now 0-3?
Yeah? He's great, yeah. I think Paul and I are failing miserably, but he is definitely great, a guy that is buttoned up. I really, really like Steve Wilkes and respect him greatly, and I hope that somehow, some way, they turn this thing around and they do it quicker as opposed to later.
How did you take it when they came to you and said, your new TV show needs juice and we need Paul and not just you?
You know what? I was great. You know I was great with that. Are you kidding me?
You weren't upset?
You didn't feel like a failure? I do
anything?
Not like the medium of television. You know that. For obvious reasons, ladies and gentlemen. There's two types of people in the world. Those that should be on television and those that should not. Figure out which one you are and you know what? We'll all be happier and better off for it. That's all I'm saying. I don't need to be on your television screen. So, you know what? It honestly is one of the reasons why I love radio, too, is just the medium, right? I mean, it's just the medium. It is the theater of the mind. The words that you use, paint a picture and do it verbally for the audience that is listening. Absolutely love it.
Why don't you have a grease board?
You know, a grease board would be good, but what would I do with it?
I mean, you would honestly find things to do.
Well, yeah. You know what? Honestly,
circles and arrows and a bunch of.
I've always wanted to do a show where basically it was going to call it the Big Red Basement, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I was going to call it, the Big Red Basement. And it was going to be set up like it was literally in a basement.
Okay? I figured that much.
And you were going to have stairs coming down, right? You would have stairs coming down. And, of course, there'd be Mom upstairs. Mom would be the voice upstairs. And
Ma, I'm done with my segment.
Think about this right here, though, right? All of a sudden, the door opens. You hear a creaking of a door. And, of course, you never see the door. And all of a sudden, Ronnie, Steve Wilkes is here. And all of a sudden, Steve comes walking down the steps into the basement. And there's a couch there. And it's Wayne and Garth. And just literally having a very relaxed, easy conversation about the game of football. That's what I really envision and would love to do one day. We'll do it live, and it will be all live for the most part. And you know what? Organic, and I would love to do a show like that at some point in time.
I'm not sure Fox Sports Arizona.
Not a television show. But I mean,
a show with cameras on TV.
With cameras, and I know, and maybe we'll stream it. It doesn't have to be on television.
Oh, okay.
But just a very relaxed atmosphere. Getting up, walking around, checking the computer as you're talking to somebody, carrying on a conversation. The Big Red Basement. That's what I would love.
This is highly entertaining because what I'm envisioning now is you've just buried yourself because the bald boss man is listening. And now there's going to be a new 5-minute podcast on the Doug and Wolf webpage, which is the Big Red Basement. And you know how much more money they give you for it?
Right.
Nothing.
Ronnie Larry is here.
It's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Thank you, Mother.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Hey, we got good news this morning. It doesn't matter what happens at Chase Field. Mathematically, there is no way the Los Angeles Dodgers can celebrate clinching the National League West in our pool.
Off spot. Parra swings, hits a little flare out into center field. It'll drop for a base hit.
Trevor Story will score. 8-0 Rockies.
The Phillies had just been eliminated as the Braves won the National League East, so they go to Colorado with the, quote, nothing to play for, and they showed it. And the Rockies knocking off the Phillies means the Dodgers have to clinch in San Francisco if they clinch at all, not at Chase Field.
This Dodgers D-bag series is not what I expected it to be when September started.
No.
Number four.
Number four this morning is Fitzmagic. Threw too many touchdown passes to the wrong team, but he did throw for 400 yards for three straight games.
All 53 in there fought through a week and came into a stadium primetime on the road and got a necessary win.
That's Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. You know what's interesting is the young running back from Pitt, Connor, looks better and better. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what's amazing about it? Just Fitz magic turns into Fitz tragic. And then goes back to Fitzmagic. This is the streakiest, one of the streakiest quarterbacks we've seen in the last half century.
It's 100%. And you knew when he was doing well, you knew he's going to fall on his face.
Absolute fire.
And when he falls on his face, you know that guy's going to get back up.
Number three.
Number three this morning is Torrey Lovello explaining what happened from the 2-2 score it was at one point.
They jumped ahead of us, and I was glad to see that we ended up scoring a run in the bottom of the ninth. We didn't shut down, but it was a tough last couple innings.
So that's where we are right now with the Diamondbacks, is you're down 7-3 in a game against what's supposed to be your rival, and well, we're glad we scored a run in the ninth. All right.
Sight of Dodger blue makes me sick.
How about this week? All week of Cubs fans, then half house of Bears fans, and now a full house of Dodger fans.
Burn it all.
Number two.
Number two this morning would be number one on any other day if it wasn't for a first-round pick at quarterback. A shocking statement that hardly any general manager would ever say in any sport.
We have a lot of veteran guys to teach our young guys how to win and help them win, and that'll be the goal for us this year. You know, I mentioned the 3-year rebuilding window. It's come to a close, and we're going to try to win as many games as we can.
What was that?
First of all, pull that sound, whatever that was right there. I want that. Give me a beat. Pull that. That's number one. And number two, Ryan McDonough jamming, apparently.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is you know what? It was my audio the whole time.
Interesting.
Man, I hate ESPN.com. Stop doing that. All right, number one.
The situation, evaluating the film, evaluating the quarterback position, I decided that Josh Rosen would be our starter going forward.
That's big.
So Josh Rosen, Suns, everything's big. Now, what about that 3rd and 2? We'll get to that later. I'm still fired up about that. Cardinals made a switch at quarterback. So what does that mean for the future of Sam Bradford? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Still amazing to think about. 4 minutes left in a game when you're down by two in week three of the season. And that's the beginning of Rosen time for the Arizona Cardinals, as Josh Rosen now is officially the guy going into the home game against Seattle. This is the head coach, Steve Wilks, yesterday at the press conference.
Looking at the situation, evaluating the film, evaluating the quarterback position, I decided that Josh Rosen would be our starter going forward.
Wow, that is something right there. What basically was a sucker punch on Monday has turned into a straight right hand in a pool hall on a Friday night, right? I mean, today you could see it clearly. You could see this coming a mile away, couldn't you, brothers? I mean, honestly, right now, I think this is the only way to actually go. Basically, you took Josh Rosen, you threw him into a hopeless situation, a very tight situation, a difficult situation, and said, you know what, go win a football game. Now, those were really, really tough conditions, but it spoke volumes of how the Arizona Cardinals feel about Josh Rosen. and how Steve Wilks and his staff actually feels about Josh Rosen. So because of that right there, I honestly think this was a no-brainer. You knew this was coming at some point in time, right? Just the hopeless feeling you had when you were watching the Cardinals offense go interception, interception, fumble. So I think that if you're willing to throw him into that kind of situation against that front seven in particular and that pass rush of the Chicago Bears, you're probably going to make the move and make it permanent.
The if you didn't hear it yesterday on the Doug and Wolf show, Paul Calvisi just made a great point, and I'm really, really wondering this, and I don't think we'll ever find out the truth. But you said after interception, interception, fumble, it seemed pretty obvious. But after the fumble by Sam Bradford, if Sam just jumps right up, angry, but runs off the field, is he replaced? And I asked that question.
I do.
Okay, I know you do. I'm not saying you're right or wrong.
Yeah,
I just
that's all right.
I really wonder on that, because the it was so odd to see him lay there face down when he was okay physically. And it was almost as if, okay, since you realize you're done, maybe I have to realize you're done. And that I didn't know.
But, how do you know he was thinking to himself, I'm done?
I don't. I'm just saying, why? I mean, when you lay like that and you're physically fine.
He was just, I can't believe I did that. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I think that is something that the rest of the team is wondering the same thing. I see,
and they're ding, 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 you mentioned the team.
Yes.
You hear me say it all the time. Offenses football is about what? Hope. And when your team has no hope, you're filled with despair. Hope. And that's the reason why they pulled him.
I love what Paul said about the body language. Was that an issue? And I think Bickley felt the same way that Paul did. Because Dan Bickley yesterday, in talking to Steve Wilks, asked him, and if you're not aware, every Monday, Steve Wilks joins Bickley and Murata, and when he was out there, he asked him about it, specifically the body language. And it was interesting, Steve Wilks kind of made it sound like it was hand in hand, that it was the body language and it was the turnovers, but they weren't really mutually exclusive. But I think you needed both.
Sam Bradford, after he fumbled, had really bad body language on the field. Was that part of your decision to make the change then?
I don't want to say that was all of it, okay. But you know, at that particular time, I said we needed a change, and it was about 11 minutes. You know, just so happened they went on a 7-minute drive, and it seemed like Josh went in. He was thrown in at the last second.
Yeah. But
at that moment right there when we, you know, lost 3 points because we're in field goal range, which could have been a difference in the game, I said we needed a change.
I think that's what he means by saying, I don't want to say that was all of it, meaning, okay, of course I was thinking about doing it after a couple of the picks, and I'm probably thinking about doing it after the fumble. But as soon as I see him laying there, okay, that wasn't all of it. But clearly, the body language went into the decision.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me to think that if he jumps right up, maybe he doesn't get taken out. Not saying he would have or wouldn't have.
Absolutely. And again, maybe that's what Steve Wilks was thinking. But you have to think about the team also.
You
have to think about the team and the other guys that are out there balling, right? You have to think about the defense and what the defense thinks. You have to think about the offense and where the offense is and the hope that they have or don't have in certain situations of being able to make a play. And I think that probably that image, to your point, and to Dan's point, maybe that image, of course, encapsulized the whole situation for Steve Wilks.
Now, one interesting thing that if you didn't hear it from the press conference, Steve Wilks said that you have to know about Josh Rosen going forward is there is one argument that says once you've done this, Josh Rosen is your starter for 2018, that's it. And Steve Wilks did not go there. Steve Wilks said it in the same way that he talked about Sam Bradford, but when Sam Bradford signed.
Josh right now is our starter. As I talked before when Sam, I said Sam was our starter and it was his job to lose. And I'm saying the exact same thing about Josh Rosen. Josh is our starter and it's his job to lose.
Yeah, you gain nothing by making declarations and proclamations. You gain absolutely nothing by doing that. Let's just say Josh Rosen goes out there and he's, You hear Paulie say all the time, it can always get worse, right? Yeah. He goes out and he throws four picks a game. Do I expect that to happen? No, I do not expect that to happen at all. But let's just say he goes out there and throws three or four picks a game. Get out of there. Get him out of there, right? You gain nothing by making definitive statements, declarations, and proclamations ever, especially when you don't know how it's going to go. Hey, listen, let me tell you something right now. With Josh Rosen starting at quarterback, it's going to be a long haul. You're going to see an awful lot of talent, and you're also going to see some bad decisions, period. Because the NFL, for the most part, will take a pocket passer, a guy like a Josh Rosen, and even though being a pocket passer, it bodes well for your long-term success in the NFL, it doesn't really bode well for your short-term success in the NFL. And because of that, I could easily see a situation where Josh Rosen goes on and he's going to struggle, and he's going to struggle mightily. He's got to learn the game. And so much of the time when you learn a lesson, Basinonians, how do you learn it? A life lesson and a negative experience, right? A lesson maybe you'll never forget. It's interesting the way we as human beings, for the most part, learn, right? I would say most of us. This is just a blanket statement, I realize that, but I think most of us learn through negative experiences in life. Not just the positive, but most of us probably negative experiences. I'll never do that again. Right? How many times have you said that to yourself? Well, I think that probably is on the horizon for Josh Rosen.
The voices have long since been silenced, but how many people watching year one said, Peyton Manning's just not an NFL quarterback? How many people said Troy Aikman's just not an NFL quarterback? And the reason why I bring that up is when I'm watching Mitchell Trubisky, I keep telling myself, don't judge, it's too early. Don't judge, it's too early. And yet every time I see him run out there, I'm thinking, really? Really?
I
cannot justify his pick at number three, let alone trading everything they did to get to number two.
He's a perfect example
of
it, though, Douglas, because he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Right.
How many games did he start in North Carolina?
I think 13.
I think it was 13 games.
Yeah. So you've got that aspect. So I know going in, you've got to be unbelievably patient with Rosen. And when we say patient, I mean,
get ready for some really, really bad disasters.
And the only decision to pull Josh Rosen is based on his mentality. With Bradford, it was, what does the team think? The team's mentality, I think, is very important. With Rosen, I don't think it matters what the team thinks. If Rosen is mentally tough enough to handle his own failure and not have it affect his performance, you keep running him out there, no matter how bad the failure is. And as soon as you realize, okay, his decision-making is actually going to get himself hurt.
Yes.
Or you think, you know what, he is demoralized to the point where he's not good to us now. We need to give him a break and take a day off.
Let's hope it never gets there, because that's
David the only reason
Carr.
Why you pull him now.
That's
David Carr
country.
Why
Let's
else would you pull
never,
him?
Ever goes there. Please. And right now, too, you know what's interesting about this scenario? You know how much respect and admiration I have for Mike McCoy and the fact that I believe he's a brilliant guy, right? The offense, as we all know, has struggled horribly through the first three games.
Averaging less than a touchdown.
Just horrible, right? They can't run the ball with any consistency, and they can't throw the ball with any consistency. At least it seems that way. One quarter out of 12 quarter plays. And you know how much respect I have for Mike McCoy. But what's interesting about this situation, Basinonians, is now that Josh Rosen has been the starter, the only thing that truly matters is how Josh Rosen develops under Mike McCoy. It's not total yards, yards per play, touchdowns, red zone, how are you doing, how's your op? Forget it. How is Josh Rosen developing as a quarterback? Interesting.
As long as, even with Josh Rosen, they don't run a counter on third and two with with David Johnson on the bench. I don't care who's the quarterback then. It's Ticket Window Tuesday coming up. Give us an hour and we'll give you a chance to win tickets with the Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to see Cardinals and Seahawks. So if you want to go to the game at State Farm Stadium this Sunday, make sure you're listening in the 7:15 beautiful part of the program. If you're not a winner, then you can still win at 10:15 and 12:15 with Bickley and Murata. And Burns and Gambo have tickets for you at 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Coming up next, he's declaring the rebuild is over. Strongest comments by any general manager in the entire league. And the clock has officially started on his tenure with a comment like that. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Songs from the iPod with Ron Wolfley.
What is this? I mean, honestly, this sounds very 1980-ish, doesn't it?
The show now is so old that it basically predates the iPhone. So we used to have a beautiful part of the program at the end where we had songs from the iPod. And we would rip songs off of iPod, which is basically Wolf demanding, I want to hear this.
I mean, this song sort of belies Wolf living dangerously this morning. I mean, Wolf, what are you doing over there? You're already wearing the dress shirt for the TV show? I mean,
the short sleeve button.
I mean,
down.
He's taking the risk there. The stains, you know your penchant for stains,
you know, and
you got a good 5-6 hours to the show.
That's
I mean, it's risky, Wolf, really risky.
Well, as you know, Paulie, of course, I'm not going to wear this. I'll put on the new blazer, of course. Do they still call it blazers, sports jacket?
Paul, are you a fan of the button down short sleeve? It's got, if you're going button down short sleeve, it's got to be Hawaiian. It can't be button down short sleeve and then still have a nice pattern on. Just go long sleeve, go dress.
No time under any circumstances thou shalt never wear a tie with the short sleeve
button down shirt.
At no time do you wear a tie with a short sleeve dress shirt. Do not do that.
I'm still not on board with the buttoning
never
the top button.
Never do that. I've made
ridiculous
citizens arrest in the street of people who have done that, who have committed that egregious error.
Oh yeah, you know what,
you
honestly, it's just brutal. Right,
I'm with
there.
You. I'm with you. I was Ryan McDonough yesterday, media day, Phoenix Suns. This was pretty amazing for him to just declare that it's time to win.
I feel like we check most of the boxes on our to-do list this summer. We have more shooting. We have a better defensive team, or potentially a better defensive team. And, you know, we have a lot of veteran guys to teach our young guys how to win and help them win. And that'll be the goal for us this year. You know, I mentioned the 3-year rebuilding window that's come to a close. And we're going to try to win as many games as we can.
And, of course, the first question was the box they didn't check, point guard. And he knew that was coming.
I totally admit that that's a... I mean, that's the number one issue. Okay, I shouldn't say that. The number one issue is NBA, get your head out of your butt. Why is media day on a Monday during the NFL season? Okay, wait till Tuesday or Wednesday and figure that out, because no matter how bad the NFL has gotten, you still don't win yet. So move it to Tuesday or Wednesday. But to your point, Paul, I know that's the number one issue, but I could not get over anybody in any general manager position, name the team, name the sport, it doesn't matter,
yeah,
declaring it's time to win, which is basically right, saying to everyone, if we don't get it done now, fire me. I mean, that, I love the fact that he's got the guts, but are you sure, Ryan? I mean, because this still doesn't look like a great team.
You don't have a point guard right now. I mean, that was the incredible
thing.
Maybe
they should both go hand in hand. Why are you declaring a time to win without a point guard?
You don't have your face of the franchise either. I mean, you know, Devin Booker, I know he's wildly optimistic about Devin Booker maybe being available for opening night, but talking about a guy who just had hand surgery for a torn tendon, he revealed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're back by Halloween at the earliest, I think that's the best projection.
Here's the interesting notion based on earnings. Ryan McDonough is a brilliant man. You need to understand that. Whether you like him or not, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I'm the first guy to admit that many times brilliance gets in the way of a person's cognition. It's interesting the way that that works. But Ryan McDonough is a super smart guy, brilliant. He knows they need a point guard. So why is he so okay with his team going into training camp without a point guard?
He tried to say that he kind of likes what they have.
We're young there. We're inexperienced there. We have really high hopes for the two guys who were in the 2018 draft class, one of whom we selected in Elia Kobo, who's been, to me, one of the standouts in our summer workouts and the pickup games and the scrimmages we've had here in Phoenix over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, really. And then De'Anthony Melton, you know, is obviously newer. We've only had him for a few weeks. But, you know, we like his length and defensive potential.
Totally. You know what I think? I think he's got a trump card. Well, that's what I think. No, he's got something in his back pocket, and he's waiting to unleash it like the Kraken.
If we know he needs a point guard, everybody knows he needs a point guard. And unfortunately for him, every other GM knows he needs a point guard. Yep. And they're trying to leverage him over a barrel, and he hasn't found a fair deal out there yet. I think that's the reality of the situation.
I think he already knows what it's going to take to get somebody, and he's got somebody in his mind, and he's just going to say, you know what, we got to do it at some point.
If you're listening, because you're getting ready to go to Flagstaff, this is totally unfair. I admit to you it's totally unfair to say this, but I can't help but make the correlation.
Good morning, Ryan.
What he's saying about the point guard position sounds exactly like what the Cardinals said about the wide receiver room coming in through training camp. You know? Oh, it'll be fine. We got this. We got this. We got high hopes for this guy. We got high hopes for this guy. Okay, where are we? How do you not see that there's an unfortunate parallel here?
But at least you have Larry in the receiver room. I mean, I'm looking at Elia Akobo, De'Anthony Melton, Isaiah Cannon, and then Shaq Harrison. And wait, Isaiah Cannon had that brutal leg injury, right? Yeah. So, I mean, do you even have one? You've got a rookie point guard. You've got a rookie big man. The offense is going to go through. Your franchise player is dealing with a hand injury for now, and you have a rookie head coach. So maybe there's just the reality that although you're trying to win this year, which is sort of a tacit acknowledgement you were tanking the last 3 years, you're trying to win this year. The reality is you're probably not going to win this year. So why give up serious assets for a point guard that probably won't change the course of the season anyway?
That's interesting because there's a lot of rookies to suddenly be counting on.
Can you really go into the regular season with young, inexperienced point guards? I mean, that is
you can if you're dripping with veterans everywhere else.
Yeah,
but they are not.
And once again, you know, there was a theory out there. Well, they're going to play a lot of these young point guards. If you're playing a lot of these young point guards, that tells me you have none. That tells me you don't have any point guards, right? Well, I mean, in the immortal words of the great John McEnroe, tennis great John McEnroe, you cannot be serious!
This is Ryan McDonough, and I did not expect a McEnroe reference, I must admit. This is Ryan McDonough.
That was kind of out of nowhere.
That's right up there with the iPod.
It was kind of telling Paul, listen, Paul, I know we've got a situation here.
You know, we realize we're young there. We're inexperienced. We don't have, you know, the proven players there that I think we have, you know, some extent 2 through 5. So we'll go up to training camp with, you know, with this group. But throughout the preseason and, you know, probably up till the trade deadline, we'll continue to evaluate trade possibilities as well.
Up to the trade deadline? I mean, we've got from now until February to think about point guard.
Doug,
really?
You're burying the lead, though. I mean, what did DeAndre Ayton have to say to Joel Embiid, right? After Embiid ripped him yet again, he's got all a media day. DeAndre?
I can't really say anything. I haven't put the ball in the hoop, so the only thing I can do is probably just let my game talk, you know, just compete.
Well, that's disappointing. I like the trash talk better.
Love that. Boy, so much more on this as the show unfolds. That and also, did you notice, Paul? Time to rise, the new slogan. Time to rise, baby. I love that, right? But you know, it had to come from Ryan McDonough basically saying, you know what, the rebuild's over. The rebuild is over. I'm paraphrasing what it was that he said, but that was the gist of it.
We're going to try to win as many games as we can.
With my tagline in my campaign the last 5 years running, I've suggested the same tagline every year, Planet Orange Cones. You know, hard hats, under construction. Planet Orange Cones.
All right, Paul.
Under construction.
Right.
Construction zone.
It's so long and clunky.
It's not nearly as good as vote for me, I'll give you 3. All right. That's still the best
Planet
one we've ever had.
Orange Cones. Yeah, that's what they need.
Planet Orange Cones. What was the tagline, Paul?
Planet Orange Cones, under construction.
Under construction.
Construction zone. Construction zone. Either one.
Right.
Calvisi Consulting invoices in the mail.
That's not time to rise, Paul.
Yeah, supposedly.
You know, I mentioned the 3-year rebuilding window. It's come to a close.
That is strong.
That is.
I think he's crazy, strong.
Put a big jackhammer there next to the sun. I mean, under construction.
Coming up next, we were all wondering why David Johnson wasn't out on the field on 3rd and 2. The coaches didn't tell us. He did. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This is a, it really is a fascinating discussion on the future of Steve Wilks as head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And when I say future, I mean how you feel about him as a fan, how media feels about covering him, and how the players feel about playing for him. Because I think you're going to get diametrically opposed opinions on that subject matter.
Really?
And the reason why I say that is because you as a fan, you spent your money, or at least the Bears fans did, spent their money going to a game, and then on the most important play of the season, David Johnson's not on the field.
Yeah.
So from the standpoint of trying to win the game, pretty inexcusable. Yet, if you're a player on the team, when you don't know what happened, I would have to imagine you've got to be irate because you know you're a better team if David Johnson's out there. However, how would you feel, anybody at work, anybody that has a job, when you screw up and your boss comes out and blames just about everybody but you publicly?
Yeah.
But blames you behind closed doors. And you know it was your fault. Isn't that what you want? Maybe it's not what you want, but isn't that what you want? And how does that relate to the team? Because it's the dynamic that we have found out, because Steve Wilks still did not say in his press conference or his conversation with Bickley and Murata why David Johnson wasn't out there. He just blamed the execution of the play.
It was up front, you know, and I'm not going to sit here. I'm not one to point out any one guy. Because it's all the guys up front, you know. As a team, we talk about certain things. It was just too much penetration, you know. I was very confident in the call. I was very confident in Chase being in there. As I stated last night, we just got to do a much better job up front in executing our job.
So that's him. And then when given a chance to further explain with Bickley and Murata, he really didn't further explain.
I would tell you this: I have total confidence in the play that was called. We worked on that play all week, as I mentioned last night. Have total confidence right there in Chase, and we didn't execute, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we got penetration up front. You know, if we execute and do our job, we have what we want on the edge right there, and we pick up the first down. So
all of this is going somewhere.
Yes, correct? It is. Yes. You can hear everything Steve Wilks is saying is about, I have confidence in the play, I have confidence in the player, and we didn't execute. He's never wavered off of that and never blamed anybody. Then the media went to David Johnson, and this is kind of a legitimate move by the media, but 99% of the time, the player will either say no comment, or they will just come out and blast the coach.
Yeah.
And say, the coach didn't put me in, you'll have to ask the coach. You know, I prepared for this, blah, 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 and usually get that from a player or no comment. David Johnson said something I don't think anybody was expecting.
Yeah, it was actually the play before, the 3rd and 2. The play before that, I missed a blitz. So I had to, you know, go to the sideline and talk to Kirby about it because I actually did not see the guy, and that's my guy.
Well, mystery solved. There it is right there. That's why he was not on the field in the 3rd and 2. A mental error is why he wasn't on the field.
He called me out to talk about it. Okay. And that's what I hope, and I want my coach to keep me accountable. I want my teammates to keep me accountable. And when I mess up, I want them to tell me. You know, I want Kirby to tell me. I want Wilks and McCoy to tell me what I did wrong.
It was a second down play that you messed up?
The second down play, yeah.
Even in that type of situation?
Yeah, because I have full trust in Chase. Yeah. Everyone has trust in Chase. Everyone, we've been talking about Chase, you know, since he's been on the team and how good of a running back he is, how great of a running back he is. And he's able to do the plays that, you know, that they call. And they don't have any second guess about what is called when he's in there.
You know what, honestly, too, if they would have run the exact same play and executed the way they did, David Johnson would have gotten stuffed, too. There's no doubt about that, right? Listen, although I'm in favor of in-game discipline, ladies and gentlemen, I am. Sorry. I've had it happen to me. I've had it happen to my teammates. I've had it happen over and over and over again. You know, you're going to sit down right there and shut your mouth, okay? And I'm talking about to some really good players as well. Taking a player out of a game when he messes up, you know what? I don't think I could do it when the game is on the line and it's a David Johnson. That's just me. Mm-hmm. All right? I despise myself and reject myself in front of king and country. What a disgrace I am. Did I actually say that on the air? That's what I need to add. Is this on? Mitch, is this? Did I really say that on the air? Because that's duplicitous by any stretch, by any measure, to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you know what? We're going to discipline you in-game. Yeah, you blew the ME. You blew the protection. Sit your butt down. It's happening over and over and over again. You sit down right here and you like it. It's third and two, and we really need this one. Get out there. So now all of a sudden you're not going to sit him down. Really? You hypocritical, duplicitous, whack job. And yet, I don't think I'd have the circumference to take my best player and tell him to go sit down while we've got a third and two with the game on the line. And that's why I'm a failure and why I reject myself in front of king and country. I could not do it. And let me just say this, too, beside the point of doing it or not doing it or sitting him down or not, this continues to be a problem for David.
Yes, it does.
Mental errors have plagued him throughout his career, and I think it's the reason why Mike McCoy hasn't been more creative with Dirty going forward. I think Mike McCoy wants him to learn the base offense to a point where the mental errors go away before he opens up the playbook. Never forget this, Basin audience. If you have two mental errors in a game, oh my, you puff, get away from me. You two mental errors in a game, I don't care how well you played. Coach is going to sit there and look at you all week long like, you know what, I can't trust you. Two mental errors, and maybe you're out there for 50 plays, and you'll get coaches who look at you like that. It's horrible. Remember Bruce Arians used to have the accountability board?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that? I wonder if Steve Wilks, I haven't asked this, probably doing this live
radio show.
Aren't
you doing a TV show today?
Honestly, maybe accountability board. I'm going to ask him that, if he's got an accountability board. Because, again, this is something that has been problematic. It's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen, David Johnson didn't hold out during training camp. I mean, think about it. Knowing he's had issues learning the offense, knowing he's learning a new offense, knowing the entire paradigm around him has changed. Can you imagine if you would have held out all through training camp?
The one thing that I really wondered then, and I think this is important, because as angry as all of us were as fans and myself as a talk show host yesterday about the play on third and two, and then finding out that David Johnson was taken out because he missed a blitz. And that's a policy either under Mike McCoy or probably more specific Steve Wilks, because he's the one that has to wear this. There's a great deal of respect.
It's always the head coach,
yeah.
Ultimate.
I think Steve Wilks, we have to understand how impressive that is, that he stood in front of the media, and I'm not acting like it's New York City or anything, but he stood in front of the media, answered the questions, and covered completely for David Johnson. And think about what a dramatic change that was. Bruce Arians had no problem coming to a microphone and running a player over in a heartbeat. And he came to the microphone, and maybe Steve Wilks normally is the type of guy, maybe in other years, where he would have said, yeah, David Johnson, and not been a jerk about it, but just David Johnson missed a blitz. Therefore, on our team, when you make that big of a mistake, you sit out of play. Maybe he thought, you know what, they've already gone through years of being hit by Bruce Arians. Let me cover for him. And I think there, even though all those of us that are fans, I don't like it, I can see how that would really galvanize the players behind Steve Wilks, that he did that. But I admit my focus moves from Steve Wilks straight to Mike McCoy, and I say, okay, Mike, you knew that David wasn't going to be available. And out of every play you have in the playbook, granted, you've got a rookie quarterback in there, but that was the best play on third and two without David Johnson?
Just saying, you knew you were in four-down territory as well. You were in four-down territory. You knew you were going to have another play right there. You know I don't like the play call. I didn't like it. I didn't love it only because it was a play that is slow in developing when you run a counter. Yes, but to me, overall, do your job. You know, ultimately,
that's true too.
Do your job and block the play correctly. Execute your stinking assignment, and you're going to be fine. You know, and let me just say this, too. It's interesting. Steve Wilkes' policy right now is, you know what, I don't like pointing out one player. And he said that.
I love the
fact that he prefaced his answer by literally saying that. I don't like pointing out any one player. This is a team sport, and I'm not going to do it. Coach, I wonder if that's going to change in 3 years. I'm just saying right now, honestly, because if, in fact, the same guy keeps doing something and you've told him and you've shut the door in your office and you've told him face to face as a man, this has got to change and whatever it may be. And I'm not saying this has happened with David Johnson. I'm not. I have no idea if it has or not. But what I'm saying is at some point in time, your last resort is to go public.
Mm-hmm. And very impressive by David Johnson that he's the one that went public. He could have hid right behind his coach.
David is a great football player, and he's a great man.
Yeah, that was really impressive by David Johnson. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by PhoenixHousePainting.com. D-backs got another loss last night, but there's a good thing that came out of it. It's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.